And the second one is called Dragon of Revolutionary Love. There is in Hanoi a lake, and there, in fact, there is more than one lake, but this particular lake is, it may be called Dragon Lake. I have an idea that's not actually its name, but there's a legend about that lake, and that is that long ago, a hero of Vietnam received from out the lake, like King Arthur received the sword Excalibur, received a golden sword, and with that he saved his country in battle. And when the battle was over and won, he brought the sword back to return it to the lake, and he tossed it into the center of the lake, and as it hit the water, it turned into a jade dragon. And that dragon, like just as King Arthur himself is said to sleep in Snowdon and someday will come to liberate Wales. I'm half Welsh, you know. So the dragon lives in the lake in Hanoi, and at the time of greatest need emerges and will emerge to help the Vietnamese people. So the poem is called Dragon of Revolutionary Love, and it doesn't refer directly to that legend. It's just I wanted to explain the title. There's a word in the poem, debridement, which is sort of explained in the poem, but it's perhaps a little curious how I came by that word. It's irrelevant, basically, to the poem, but you may be interested to know that Mira Rukeyser, who was one of my two companions on that trip, the other one being Jane Hart, a senator's wife from Michigan, Philip Hart's wife, and herself a war tax resister, the only senator's wife, I guess, who has been active against the war. Well, Mira Rukeyser, the poet, had an infected foot while she was there and had to go to the hospital to have it treated, and I went with her because her French wasn't very good and she was afraid that they might not understand exactly what needed to be done to it. She'd had this before, and it was this particular kind of light scraping that requires to be done very, very delicately, and it was a new word to me, and it got into this this poem that came out of our trip. You'll see where it occurs. There are three short sections. One, all the grievous wounds the murderers, crudely disguised as surgeons, inflict on the innocent, gouging their flesh and the earth and rivers of their flesh, are only debridements, light scrapings of the layer just below the skin. Breathing their own stale breath inside their masks, fingers itching in bloody gloves, they fail to touch the spirit dragon alive in the bone and marrow of their prey. Two. From the red river's many mouths uprises a spirit song. Glittering drops that fall free from the nets as fishermen take their catch are the bright scales of the spirit dragon. Three. To live beyond survival, when a whole child hurries to school with a legless child on his back, both of them flushed with pride, the spirit dragon flies alongside them.